Check it out. I am the ultimate badass.
Yes.
State of the badass art. You do not want to fuck with me. Check it out. Hey, Ripley, don't worry. Me and my squad of ultimate badasses will protect you. Check it out. Independently targeting particle beam phalanx. What? Fry half the city with this puppy. We got tactical smart missiles, base plasma pulse rifles, RPGs. We got sonic electronic ball breakers. We got nukes. We got knives, sharp sticks.
Knock it off, Hudson.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bill Paxton died at the age of 61 due to complications from heart surgery. Why do we decide to discuss this? Well, for not only because it's in the news, but particularly Al is Al is probably the biggest Bill Paxton fan ever. I always said Bill Paxton wasn't that great of an actor, but I thoroughly enjoyed his character that he played in the same character in every movie of Aliens, Twister, and why me give a tribute to him, Al?
What can I add? By accident or design, Bill Paxton's body of work is composed of the most entertaining, if not great, titles, many of which I watched countless of times over the past three decades. He started with minor roles like the punk leader in Terminator or the intercept officer in Commando before delivering most notable supporting performances like Private Hudson in Aliens, Morgan Earp in Tombstone, or Fred Hayes in Apollo 13. As a rare lead, he will be most remembered for his role of Bill Harding in Twister, a film that influenced and probably killed a generation of tornado chasers. Although I would have loved to see him in another 90s disaster movie, Dante's Peak. I'm glad that the role of the main protagonist...
I'm sorry, I didn't get that disaster movie. What disaster movie was that?
Dante's Peak. It's a volcano movie.
Dante's Peak.
I'm glad that that role of the main protagonist went to the Pierce Brosnan. I firmly believe that otherwise a generation of volcanologists would inadvertently kill themselves as well by attempting to swim across a highly acidic lake or trying to outrun a pyroclastic flow in a pickup truck. Bill Paxton himself still remains the only person to be killed by a Terminator, an alien, and a predator. Yet, each time he effortlessly delivered some of the most iconic lines, such as, "Game over, man!" or "It's already here!" with his instantly recognizable voice. He was universally considered to be a beloved goofball.
Yes.
But unlike many of his colleagues, he was never involved in any scandals or controversies and remained married to the same woman since 1987, 30 years.
Highly
yes.
Controversial.
It's safe to say that he was always and he will always remain my favorite actor. And I think all of us here will truly miss him and his work. Godspeed, Bill Paxton.
Thank you very much, Al, and welcome to Criminal Masterminds here on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and Podcast Network. We thank you for joining us today. We thank Bill Paxton for passing away, I guess, in a way, to contribute to the past 5 minutes. And on the serious note, yeah, he was pretty fun to watch. Straight to BlueLivesMatter.blue, there is an update. Not an update, actually just popped up. Houston police officer Jose Munoz and officer Ronnie Cortez shot critical suspect on the run. Houston, Texas, Houston police officers Jose Munoz and Ronnie Cortez remain hospitalized after being shot on Tuesday morning, February 28th, 2017. According to ABC 13, the incident began about 11:08 a.m. in the 8,000 block of Sterling Game when officers were dispatched to a call of a burglary in progress. While Houston police officers were en route, one officer was flagged down and advised of a second burglary in the area. Oof, geez, exhausting already. It's a lot of stress. Hey, I'm going to one burglary, as if one's not enough. Hey, hang on a sec. I got a curveball for you. I got another burglary for you.
Hey, it's over here now.
It's over here now. There's another burglary over here now. Burglaries, especially, man. It's like, especially if it's in progress and you got a good burglary, that's pretty in progress, I would think, as it gets. Short of, like, you know, an active shooter or, you know, shooting or stabbing in progress
or
robberies, assault, blah, blah. I can go on all day. Anyway.
Littering.
Littering and?
Loitering.
Houston police officers begin to set up the perimeter. And Houston police officers were checking houses and went to check the backyard storage shed of a resident. Ooh, those storage sheds. Sometimes could be lethal.
Yeah, or boats.
Or boats, I guess. Or
Boston Marathon bombers.
Yeah, you're right.
Entry lines,
I'm sure, yeah. Anyway, they went to check down the shed in the backyard of the resident who had alerted them that the door was ajar. Officer, my shed, the backyard storage shed, the door is ajar. They encounter a male suspect who opened fire. Oof. Four of the five Houston police officers presented to return fire, and that suspect was shot and killed. His identity has not been released, but by the sounds of this, sounds like a justified shooting, I'd say. You shoot at the police, they will return fire. But a man is underway for a... a manhunt is underway for a second suspect who is... Also, here it says a Hispanic male.
Obviously, didn't hide in that shed.
How
big was the shed?
Yeah, well, you know, he was like, you take the shed. I'm going to continue running.
Let me ask you a question. Did police search the shed after the shooting? Maybe he was hiding there still.
Maybe.
Then they just left.
Maybe he
left
just sneakily walked out.
Well, he just walked out. Hey.
I don't know. A $20,000 reward has been offered for information leading to his arrest. Two officers were shot during the exchange of gunfire. Officer Jose Munoz was transported to the Bentob Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. That's very good. He was shot in the foot and the leg and is a 10-year veteran. All right. He got lucky. Houston Police Officer Ronnie Cortez was transported to the Herman Memorial and is listed in critical condition with a bullet lodged near his spine. Yeah, that's not fun. That spine, that pesky spine. God should have created a shield around that spine. But sometimes, you know, sometimes I read some of these stories. I'm going to interrupt this, interrupted right here. And it's like our bodies are designed in a very intricate way. Like our forehead, for example, is designed specifically to take, if it should take impact, that's the part where you want to take impact.
Protect the brain.
Yeah, protect the brain. But like sometimes when stuff like this happens, I start thinking how vulnerable.
Yeah, like testicles, for example. They're hanging somewhere between you, abdomen and your knees. Yeah,
not well, much protection.
Yeah,
there's no protection.
Why would we not give them protection?
At my age right now, they're probably just swinging from one knee to the other.
Don't remind me. I see them every day, twice, sometimes three times a day.
Back in the day when you were, you know, a young lad.
Or back in the day when my father-in-law wasn't living with us.
His must be down to his ankles.
It's very close to his knees.
Oh, okay.
Let's say those cards when they say, you know, it's another year, when they, you know, wish you happy birthday and say another year close to your things hitting the water when you sit on the toilet.
I never heard that phrase before, but okay.
They submerge, I bet. They're really close, if not in there already.
It's amazing. I wanted to talk about how vulnerable our bodies are and shed some sympathy towards Officer Cortez, and we ended up talking about how low testicles can hang as the older you get.
You brought it up.
I did. Officer Ronnie Cortez, age 49, is a 24-year vet, according to the 24 years. 24 years, and here he is in critical condition. The guy's like, what, maybe a year away from retirement? maybe 6. He's towards retirement.
Yeah,
let's say putting all that time in, and here he is laying in a hospital in critical condition with a bullet lodged near his spine
because of some
prick hiding in a shed because they were breaking into some houses. Ugh. 49 years old. He's 1 year away from being 50, celebrating his 50th birthday, and thinking, you know what? I did a pretty good job. I'm going to sit on this patio, on this deck, on this beach, or whatever. I'm going to retire. Man, I had a great career. No. Instead, he's battling right now because of this D-bag. He was shot several times in the stomach and back, according to Dr. David Percy, the city's EMS physician director. Quote, his condition has improved some, but he is still in critical condition. Should I sound like a doctor when I read this? What? Give me a doctor sound.
Your grandma.
His condition has... No, Monroe. That's my... Every time she tried to say Montrose Road, she'd say Monroe.
She said Connecticut.
Connecticut. Anyway, his condition is has improved, but he is still in critical condition. That sounds pretty optimistic, actually.
Yeah.
Dr. Percy said that Officer Cortez was awake and talking with his wife. That is very good news. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner said that his wife was concerned about him making it and asked for a prayer from him and the other officers. Houston Police Chief Art Vandalay. No, I'm just kidding. Acevedo said that, quote, what we've seen today is the courage of American police officer. He also said, quote, excuse me, as much as society likes to disparage our police officers, .. they're brave. They run toward danger. Oh, thank you, Chief. And yeah, that's about it here. As the great Tony Danza would say, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Now, it sounds like they're doing, one officer's doing fine. He got shot in the leg. It's going to hurt like hell. But for Officer Cortez, we're glad to hear that he's doing well. We'll try to follow up on him, see how his condition improves. Hopefully, knock on wood, or pray to God, whichever superstition or God you believe in. Shall we move to the next story?
Yes.
CBS. This is a story by Officer Blue on Blue Lives Matter.
Blue.
Little boy Blue. CBS 58 crew member responds after calling cops, quote, trigger happy on live stream. This one irritated me a bit when I read this. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So anyway, Blue Lives Matter recently covered an incident where at a Milwaukee homicide scene on February 24th, a CBS 58 crew member made a comment to a random black male who was walking by. He said, quote, be careful because cops are trigger happy. The comment was made
He just said that to a random guy.
The comment was made during a live stream on Facebook Live. CBS and the involved crew member have now responded. Apparently, from what I read, this guy was just walking down the street, and the CBS guy was live streaming it. And then as he was walking by, he said, hey, be careful. You know, cops are trigger happy over there.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you say to people. Hey, yeah, there's a DUI checkpoint, or there's a speed trap.
Right. Yeah.
Now he said... Hey, they're...
Watch out. They might shoot you because
with their assault weapons.
Yeah, and you know...
They have machine guns over there.
And
nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a cruiser, and he's referring to it as a tank.
We got nukes. We got knives.
After the live stream went up, CBS 58 cut the audio from the first 6 minutes and 41 seconds of the video
to delete
the comment, but that didn't address the
issue. Oops, we appear
issue.
To have lost the feed.
CBS shortly after we covered the story. Look, CBS responded. CBS 58 apologizes for the situation that occurred on a Facebook Live session on Friday, February 24th, when an off-camera station employee, not the reporter on site... made inappropriate and offensive comments regarding law enforcement. I like how, comma, not the reporter on site. Clearly, the reporter is writing this response.
We want nothing to do with him.
CBS.
Us at WCBS.
Yes.
We want nothing to do with it.
CBS
58 apologizes for these comments, which in no way reflect our views. CBS 58 has taken appropriate action against employee involved and has had direct discussions with the Milwaukee Police Department regarding this incident.
He needs cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. Now the involved crew member has contacted Blue Lives Matter and advised them that he was fired. He did not
It's going to be... They refer to us as the deplorables.
It's going to be more better without you.
Sir, the only deplorable here is you. It's deplorable. Mm.
You got to move your hands more.
Yeah.
Your big hands.
It's huge.
It's
more big than huge.
More big. He did not need to reach out to Blue Lives Matter identify himself, but because he did and the crew member was already fired over the comment, Blue Lives Matter decided to withhold his name, which is fine. I don't think we should be throwing his name out
or
there.
His address or his
I don't
kids
listen
school.
No matter how big of a how dumb of a comment he made, it's still a comment, ladies and gentlemen. He's an idiot for what he said. But if in fact what he said, I don't believe it. My first question is, was he a good cameraman? Putting his stupid impulses aside, if he actually did the job proper and did the job well, maybe, you know. But anyway,
Do you think that all cops shoot people? Black people? Cameraman?
Cameraman. I am, his response to Blue Lives Matter.
I am the now former CBS 58 photojournalist who made the comment about trigger-happy cop while live streaming from the scene of a shooting on Friday, February 24th at 57th and Center. I have since been fired for making the comment. It was a stupid joke I made to a guy who told me he was getting out of the area because he said there were too many cops with guns running around. He continues by saying, the truth is, I don't believe for one second that the Milwaukee cops are trigger happy. I pause right here and say, bull. I think, I don't think he's sincere right here. In fact, he says, in fact, think the officers show incredible restraint every day, especially as they did during the riot last August near Sherman Park. Did they? Then why did you say it? I was there that night covering the unrest. A coworker and I were beat up, had our camera gear stolen, our cell phones taken, and our lives threatened by a group of young men.
Okay, but it was mostly peaceful.
Mostly.
It
was 97% peaceful.
We were sending video of the burning BP gas station back to the station as it happened. Okay, he continues by saying, I apologize to all Milwaukee police officers, Blue Lives Matter, and anyone else who heard my comment and were offended. When I made the comment, I was scared. Again, I doubt it. Because, listen, how are you scared, first of all, cameraman? If you're referring to being in those riots and the unrest and you were beaten up and you had your camera gear stolen and your cell phone stolen, you had your life threatened by a group of young men.
That it wasn't stolen by the cops.
And then,
you weren't beat up by the cops.
Yeah, witnessing a burning gas station.
You probably ran
to
the cops.
But then yet here you say on scene of a murder. I really doubt you were scared. If you were on scene of a murder, sounds that murder scene was already settled down. Yeah. I'm scared. No, I doubt he was scared. And I thought making a joke might help ease the tension. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound sincere at all. I'll probably be leaving town soon, but I wish the people of Milwaukee the best as they deal with the serious problem of racism that I witnessed both ways in my year living here.
Both ways?
You know what? Again,
He goes both
perhaps,
ways.
Perhaps the guy didn't deserve to get fired. I don't know. I don't like when people make comments and nobody complains on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I don't know if anybody complained here, but nobody complains and they go ahead and fire him anyway.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Do you remember that episode, Trouble with Tribbles, when Klingon was offending Chekhov and, what's his name? Scotty.
Something tells me if Scotty. I say no, I'm a cool guy.
Yeah, you are, because I'm a complete turd for knowing this. So Klingons were insulting, and Chekhov was like, Mr. Scott, are you going to listen to him insulting us and our captain? And Scott told them, easy, laddie. We're old enough to take a few insults. That was back in the 60s. Apparently, it completely degenerate into being offended at everything nowadays.
What would Star Trek Softies. Look like today? Would they have like a safe space? Would they ban certain words on the bridge?
Yeah. Or it's a room.
They can't say engage anymore.
Yeah, red alert would be too.
Trigger word. Somebody explained what trigger word is. Like, so I was speaking to somebody and I said, hey, this happened and the person reacted in this way. And they said, oh, he was triggered.
You know, like,
what do you mean by that?
I know one person who can explain you exactly what trigger word is, and that's my wife, because she gets triggered so many words that I say. I'm still trying to figure it out,
that's
but
different.
I'm afraid of asking her what the words are because I might trigger her again.
Trigger her to nag?
Nag or put water in my boots.
Did she do that before?
One time she did. As a matter of fact, I was heading to work.
Before
and
we were getting your lunch pail, regular Joe.
That never happened. Somehow we skipped that part of our marriage when she was cooking food and cleaning the house. It just went straight to putting water in my boots. We were arguing one night.
What did you say or do
no,
that
we're
she
just
put
saying,
water?
And suddenly she calmed down, and I was walking around, and I'm walking around the house, this, that, F this, F that. And I'm like, how come she's not responding? Because she's never to like back
she's
out of
quiet,
the fight.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, you know.
That should have been a red flag.
I'm like, mate, well, you know what? No, stupid me. I thought, you know what?
Impulsive
I finally,
Al.
I finally have the final word. So I go, I pick up my boots, and all I hear is this.
you didn't put your feet in there?
Luckily, no. She made a mistake. She put too much water in them. I felt this. She said, damn it. That's when she cursed and said, I should have put less water in it so you wouldn't feel
I'm
it.
Sorry, but it sounds more like,
things in there.
Damn it, they should have put less water in it. That's not what she sounds like at all.
Does she?
No, she not, doesn't
not,
sound like
not
she.
Really.
Not that, no. Actually, not at all. No, not even that. But clearly, really good waterproof boots if they've retained all that water in there.
Yeah, on the inside, that's the
problem.
Yeah,
that's good. Oh, they never, somehow it goes in, but it never comes out.
Yeah, somehow it goes in. It goes in! It never goes out.
It goes in, but it never goes out. Therefore, they're not good boots. I need new boots. And therefore, she's not a good wife, but she's putting water in my boots. How do we... Anyway.
The warts hurt, apparently, in 2016 and 2017. Warts are worse than actions.
And that's... Wow. I completely I agree with you, and I disagree with that whole new era of...
You can't say what you want to say, but you can, you can go on the street and beat people up.
Gentlemen, let me ask you the question. When was the last time you heard that phrase? I might not agree with you, but I will fight for your right to say it. When was the last time you heard that? Probably back in the 90s.
I would have to say, never heard it.
90s?
Yeah, 90s.
That was common. That was what
90s,
they said in the
but
90s.
But you know what? You know why a lot of people don't remember that? Because it was a given thing back then.
Yeah,
it was a given thing where people were like, listen, I might not agree with you, but you know, you have every right to your...
Or people who get upset at that were too... little to remember that, and now they're grow up. Now they're in their 20s, and they're adults. They understand everything about this
millennials,
life.
Millennials,
and they get angry, and you know.
Yeah, I heard this. Hey, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but I completely disagree with it. Like I don't hear that
well,
anymore.
Well, nowadays
it's hate speech.
Now it's like
now
you're
it's,
a racist.
If I you know,
it's like, you know what, I really think the Cowboys really should have gone. They should have broke up the middle and made a run play right there on that first yard line instead of going in the air and throwing. Well, sir, you are a racist.
Oh, did you guys?
You are a homophobic, racist, zenist.
Zionist.
Did you guys? I don't even know what that word means.
To say it.
It sounds like a Star Trek character.
Speaking of this, did you guys hear about the reaction when the Patriots won? How they were saying that was racist?
The
Patriots. Oh, please tell me more.
No, that's a real thing. The people, extreme left, uh-huh. leftists on Twitter and all over the internet.
Right.
We're comparing the Patriots' win to Donald Trump's victory election and claiming that this was somehow a win for white supremacy.
Amazing. That's funny. Well,
it didn't occur to them that there's a whole bunch of black people on the team.
How is this? How did they make that correlation?
I don't even know
connection.
How they came to that connection.
So no one can explain
this? I have no idea.
What if the other team
won? Tom Brady was a Trump supporter, right?
Not known racist.
Well, well-known Nazi fascist.
Right. Right. There are footages of him marching along with the SS soldiers.
Yeah. It's known that he has a picture of Adolf Hitler over his bed.
Yeah, he must.
Watching him while he screws his supermodel girlfriend. Sorry.
It's all right. That's
not,
fine.
Not PG.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
I'm not surprised at all. That's essentially the
I mean, that's what they would have you believe.
You can't speak anymore. The speech is just, it's a very, it's like 1984 again. The book,
the 1984 book?
The movie.
Last
yeah.
year's dictionary
to make movie
was
references.
This big. This year's dictionary is only this big.
This yeah. is the funniest part about the book, when the dictionary just started getting smaller and smaller every year because of all the banned words.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, my laptop for some reason just started playing ads. There's so many ads on this thing. But anyway, that we pretty much
money.
Beat the horse on this one. What's the proper termage here?
You're asking me, the ESOL student?
Yeah, I was an ESOL student at some point too. Anyway, there you go. That's basically the moral of the story is, or the point of my story, or our comments is that you can't really say what's on your mind anymore. And a lot of things that you say it's not even that anymore. Before I could address the fact that you can't say anything anymore, it's to the point where you say something and it's completely considered that you're a racist.
Yeah, and the rules change every day, and they don't tell you what the rules are. They don't update you on what you can say and what you can't say. They just make them up as they go. It's almost like they adopted that policy of, what's her name, Nancy Pelosi, who said, let's pass this bill, I guess, was it the Obamacare? Mm-hmm. And then we'll find out what it's all about.
Or they simply cherry pick what you say, where you know that you're being articulate in your point, but
yeah.
somehow they don't understand what you're saying. And they
On the related topic, I'm completely done with Google News, because today I looked at them, and they usually on the internet, on their website, they present top six stories of the day.
Right.
And amongst those top six stories, there was one story, I think it was number five or six. This wasn't the top one. It was about Ivanka Trump from last night speech. They were upset that she was wearing the inappropriate dress and her bra was bra strap was showing. And that was one of the most important stories in the world.
Wait, liberals are upset with this?
Well, Google News is all about, it's for some reason on my page, it comes out as New York Times, Washington Post.
Oh, yeah.
And Pravda.
Okay, so got it.
So they were upset that her bra strap was showing?
You know what they sound like? They sound like... Back in the 90s, it drove me nuts when the conservatives or Christians would say something like that.
Yes.
Oh, her bra is showing. Oh, whatever. Now the new, the progressives, the liberals, the leftists that are supposed to have this open mind to literally everything, they sound the same mm-hmm. way as those conservatives back in the day. It reminds me of
what does it remind you of?
It reminds me of that
Puritans. they're like the new Puritans. They're like the new
the
extreme religion.
Yeah,
you know,
the Inquisitions. Remember yeah. You remember
Spanish
Inquisition?
Inquisition? Yeah,
I think every country had an Inquisition of some sorts. But it's yeah, but that's my point, though.
They're the ones complaining about, you know, the way women look in video games and TV, and you know if you have a character that looks sexually attractive to men,
right?
Yeah, but
right,
that only applies.
This is a problem. But you can have male characters that look sexually attractive to women,
mm-hmm,
and this is not a problem.
Also, you can have when it's a very attractive girl, it's inappropriate. It's exploitation. Mm-hmm. However, if you put someone who is not very attractive or overweight, that's empowering.
Yeah, you can have a fat person. I think we talked about this before.
But did we?
Sorry, yeah, we can talk about it again.
Yeah, be naked, or practically naked, mm-hmm, and this is a beautiful thing. But if you have an attractive woman doing the same thing, it's, you know, it's an unrealistic body standard. It shouldn't be shown. It shouldn't be seen.
Right.
You know, they're like the new Puritans. Well, if their own version of what, you know.
No, you can't be more
wrong. You can't be more racist, Michael.
Racist, bigot, homophobe.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm trying to adapt to our environment.
You know,
I think I'm officially a Nazi now.
That's right. That's right. You're a homophobe.
You're a Nazi who hates Hispanic people, even though you have very strong Hispanic background.
You're anti-Islam too.
Yeah, anti-Islam.
I got it in time.
Richard, you're definitely anti-Islam, even though right, you are mostly Muslim.
Olive skin complected. Yeah. But it's good. That's good. That's great. Hey,
it's huge. It's great. We're gonna change all that. It's going to change. America's going to be great again. It's great. It's huge.
What is most upsetting is that when they mention something and try to compare it to Hitler, they don't put the person they're referring to the don't put them down to the level of Hitler. They bring Hitler up to our level, and it kind of equated with everybody else, because we're all in the end not perfect.
They're making it seem like Hitler was kind of just an asshole.
Yeah.
He wasn't really, you know what I mean?
It's
even
it's,
he was so much worse.
Even saying if a grown man refers to anybody these days as a Hitler or a Nazi, it's mm-hmm, just like you look at them, you're like, really? You're still in that like college student debate approach. But anyway, what else can I say that I haven't said already? But it's sad. It certainly is sad. And of all places, it's in America.
Yeah, who would have thunk?
Yeah, who would have thunk indeed? Yeah. So apparently now, in Webster Parish, Louisiana, they have pickup trucks that take off in flight. This article is by Officer Blue again. A stolen pickup launches up embankment, goes airborne during a pursuit.
That is a great
picture. And if you go to bluelivesmatter.blue and scroll down to this article, and it's literally titled that, you'll see a pickup truck up in the air flying. Like I've never seen a pickup truck
fly before.
Fly before. I've never seen a pickup truck fly before in general. Hit play on that bad boy and see what we see here. Hopefully there won't be any more ads.
I know.
Oh my God. Wow. That was like Dukes of a Hazard here.
Yeah. Just the good old boys. Bing, jiggy, bing. Can you pull up the theme song for Dukes of Hazard,
yes,
please?
Yes, I can.
If it wasn't for all that
you know, trees and all that grass, it would have almost looked like a scene from original Mad Max.
That's true.
Remember the second one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just the desert.
Desert.
And when you get to it, just hit play, because I want it to play while I'm reading this article.
Original Dukes of Hazard?
Dukes of Hazard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Dukes, I've never seen
Dukes of Hazzard theme song.
You've
never seen a single episode.
He was clearly an immigrant in the 90s. Yeah.
You guys didn't see that show?
We missed that show.
Missed that show.
I definitely missed that show.
But I did tape every episode of 90210.
And Baywatch.
And
Melrose Place.
X-Files.
You should consider going back and watching the Dukes of Hazzard.
You know what I did?
For no other reason, Daisy Duke.
Daisy Duke was an attraction. I know of Daisy Duke. Wait, didn't they remake Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah, the movie
sucked.
It was horrible.
Yeah, but Jessica Simpson was really attractive.
Jessica Simpson was.
It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Here, that one right there. This one. Yeah, play that. Yeah. Webster Parish. Ads. Just, you know.
I should have warned you.
With this, whatever this movie is, it shouldn't be called what it is. It should be called Buzz Killington. Actually, I want to. What movie is this?
What movie is this?
The Shack.
The Shack?
The Shack. No.
Is that the same Shack where the guy hid?
The Buzz Killington is what. Yeah. All right, Webster Parish, Louisiana. A pursuit of a stolen pickup ended when the truck launched over an embankment going airborne. At around 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, a Webster Parish deputy stopped a Toyota Tacoma for speeding on a highway, on Highway 371. While the driver, this is great. While the driver of the vehicle was out of the truck speaking with the deputy, passenger Kevonte Austin slid into the driver's seat and sped off. Austin then led the police on a pursuit at a speed of up to 115 miles per hour, as we pretty much saw right there. Deputies set up spike strips and were successfully able to spike the Toyota's tires. A bystander apparently saw the police setting up the spike strips and waiting nearby to take video. I say he caught lightning in a bottle, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, when he got this on video. And on video, you can see the Kevonte Austin lost, or Kevonte? Oh. Anyway, whatever. Austin lost control of his pickup after hitting the spike strips. The Toyota went off the road, up the embankment, and went flying. The video certainly did do that indeed. The pickup landed on a Corolla pickup. I'm sorry. The pickup landed on a Corolla parked at a nearby restaurant. Barbara Harlan was in the Corolla at the time of it was crushed by the pickup, but thankfully she escaped uninjured.
That's good.
Wonder what she was doing in the pickup. Just talking, probably on the phone.
Where was she? Where was the?
You know what she was on? What? She was on. She was checking out articles on Blue Lives Matter. Blue. She was watching Randy Sutton.
It was a parking lot.
On the casino. She was also probably spending a tremendous amount of time looking for Randy Sutton on the whatever IMDb.
IMDb.
It's like, huh? I wonder why his name's not coming up. Kevonte Austin was taken into custody after the collision. It appears that he fled because he was wanted for a probation violation. Austin is now in jail for the vehicle theft and his probation. Oh, probation violation. He got hit with a vehicle theft. That's idiot. And what a dummy. Just, hey, if you have a warrant, just stay put and take care of that warrant, because once you're done with that warrant, guess what you get to do? Go back outside and play. In a pickup truck, right?
They also charge him with not wearing seatbelt.
Yeah.
$25, no points.
No, that's right. I guess this article gives some provocative questions, but I guess we can move on to the next one here. There you go, have it.
While
there you go,
looking
folks.
For something else. It reminds me of that scene from Star Trek when a truck flies from the end of the cliff right here.
That's not a truck. That's a spaceship.
Yeah, right here.
That's data.
Picard.
Oh, wait. That's a truck. Which scene is this?
Star Trek Nemesis.
You know,
oh.
Picard was never this reckless in the TV show.
That's a continuity error.
He was always by the book.
Yeah.
Always wanted to respect the prime directive. In the movies, he's like, he wants to kill people. He wants to jump off cliffs.
Yeah, that's something Kirk would do.
Yeah, he turned into Kirk in the movies. It's like the tale of two Picards.
Yeah,
that's true. That's funny.
Why is he so different in the movies?
Why is he so difficult? Such a difficult man.
Just
being difficult. Speaking of difficulties, remember we talked about ACLU and how they wanted officers to...
And Miss Armstrong.
Remove riot gear. Miss Armstrong. I particularly hope that Miss Armstrong was paying attention.
Would call you.
To Chief Edward Flynn when he responded to ACLU. This article is, again, by Officer Blue. And the story is titled, "A Milwaukee Police Department Department Chief Edward Flynn Lays Out Why He Won't Sacrifice City Safety to Please ACLU." In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, last week, the ACLU announced that they were suing the city of Milwaukee over the police department's practices. Now, Milwaukee Police Department's Chief Edward Flynn has responded and eloquently cuts through their nonsense. ACLU lawsuit alleges that police officers or Milwaukee police, quote, engage in unlawful policy, practice, and custom of conduct in
practices
conducting a high volume suspicionless stop and frisk program, which created a deepened public fear of and alienation from the police.
BS.
You know,
it sounds like garbage already. Here's it continues on here. Quote: Black and Latino people throughout Milwaukee, including children, fear that they may be stopped, frisked, and otherwise treated. I bet they're not.
They're not scared.
You know
not
who's not scared? The ones who are not armed with guns.
The ones who are not breaking the law are not scared.
Or otherwise treated like criminal suspects when doing nothing more than walking to a friend's house or home from school, driving to and from.
Who is frisking kids walking home from school?
Or of
Milwaukee
ones.
Police officers, apparently.
Yeah, apparently, according to ACLU.
What are they talking about?
Running errands. And simply taking a leisurely
walk. Look at that old grandma.
Or drive through the city.
I think we better frisk
Can I ask you a question? Does anybody take a leisurely drive through the city anymore? Who drives
maybe an armored
leisurely
vehicle.
Drive
I mean,
through
who,
a city?
Who can afford to do that these days?
And you know what? And you know what? And the funny part is, at what, 2 a.m. in the morning in a high crime area?
As opposed to
Officer,
2 a.m. in the afternoon.
I was just taking a leisurely drive with my buddy here.
Especially since 2014 when Michael Brown popped off and everything, there was not only a disconnect between police departments and the community, police departments and police departments in the community, but then, what is that? Stop distracting me. There was not only was a disconnect between police officers and the community, but there was also a disconnect between patrol and brass. Patrol and their supervisors, because supervisors got really freaked out and like, oh no, we got to make sure all our boys and girls behave now and make sure, you know, the next shooting or the next beating that the police officers give out to, in the sense that within the capacity of the officers' proper duties. And I hate the word duties, sorry. My point, it's refreshing to hear a police chief, a supervisor of the supervisor, saying, I'm willing to risk a few lawsuits. I'm willing to take a few lawsuits to allow my officers to do what needs to be done, to go out there and patrol these disadvantaged neighborhoods or these neighborhoods that are plagued with crime.
With plague?
It's the plague. Plagued is a proper word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we're adults here. We got to say, you know, bigger words like Detroit, Chicago. What you? How are you supposed? How are you, I can't imagine how you're supposed to be a police officer in those cities or West or Baltimore. West Baltimore.
You know, in those cities, they don't cooperate with the police and in the crime infested neighborhoods. When a kid gets killed
nationwide,
and the kids get killed. Mm-hmm. They didn't know, even if they saw it, they don't want to talk to nobody.
Ferguson was a prime example of that. Ferguson was a very good example of that. But Ferguson also went a step further and started fabricating a story to make sure that the officer got jammed up. And that's frightening to begin with. And then to have brass stand there or to have supervisors stand there, just be like, oh, well, it might be politically incorrect for us to defend the officer in this instance. We don't have all the facts in yet, but if we take the officer's side, it might seem like it's a politically incorrect move. And that's dangerous. That's a dangerous move because not only are you disconnecting yourself from the police officers that you work with, but the morale just drops. And then when morale drops, guess what? Crime goes up, folks.
We drop.
And
when machine breaks down.
Speaking of which, this is exactly what I wanted to do on every single podcast because we do it on a weekly basis. I figured we'd give an update on Chicago's
the body count.
The body count in Chicago. Where are we, Al? Do you have any numbers for me?
You should keep it for the whole year until see how high it gets.
Updated 2 hours ago and 2 hours and 23 minutes ago.
It's according to ABC website. News.
According to WABC 7 News.
ABC 7.
44 killed in February.
How many days in February?
28. Only 28.
Yeah, not sure. Even 30. No. Not even 31. You know, 28.
Not even 29.
44.
It's not a leap year.
It's a short month.
44 killed. How many in January? Do we remember?
Well, it says so far murdered 94. If you, you know, far 94 minus 44 is going to be exactly 50.
50.
And that's 31 days.
Oh, okay. So you know what? February was a shorter year technically.
Yeah, but you know,
I bet if you gave February three more days, they would catch up.
Month.
They would catch up to 50. Get six more kills in 3 days in Chicago. Yeah. Very possible. As a matter of fact, I bet that's pretty low in comparison to other days that they get over.
Nearly 100 people died so far. And it's already March. I'm
two
sure
months.
You can add like maybe one or two.
We're in March right now. March 1st. How many today? It'd be really interesting to hear.
People are just
a lot of these crimes go unsolved because of the lack of cooperation.
And nobody's talking about it. People complain the most about the police and how they're racist. Whatever you complain is about the police. Look at the numbers in Chicago. Just look at it. 44? That's embarrassing. Mm. Whoever the mayor is over there, clearly not given a F about any of it. Anyway, we got to move on. We got like 10 minutes left. I want to.
Down.
What is this?
We break down.
That's great.
There is a story out of California, West Covina. There's a suspect with a baseball bat. Beat on the bat with the baseball bat. Oh, yeah. It's a good old. Yeah. You could actually play that song while I'm singing this one. This is a suspect with a baseball bat. Threatens people at a police station. Officer launches a sneak attack. There's a video of this also on bluelivesmatter.blue if you'd like to watch this. Okay. Yeah, another ad. I can't stand ads. Just when you try to be creative. All right. West Covina, California. West Covina Police Department shared information. Beat on the brat with the baseball bat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh.
Don't sing with the records, Howard.
Oh. Beat on the brat. Beat on the brat with the baseball bat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. At about 10:18 a.m. Monday morning, Christopher Rivas, 28, of West Covina, walked up to the front of the lobby of the West Covina Police Department and began striking a large glass window with a baseball bat. Seated inside the lobby by the window were three women who immediately ran and entered a secured area of the lobby. As officers responded from within the police station, Christopher Rivas walked up to the entryway, repeatedly swinging and striking the glass entry door, threatening to enter.
Why is he attacking the glass?
Probably just mentally ill.
Maybe he thought it was a Starbucks.
Like or maybe he's on PCP. Yeah. PCP people like glass.
He just wanted some coffee.
And
donuts.
Hey, he just took some LSD.
Hey, maybe he thought the coffee at the police station was
there's
better.
A video of it. There's a good tackle of
better
it.
Better than the stuff at Starbucks.
Is there yeah, there is a. If you were, you know, doing as I asked you, keep scrolling down. It's all the way at the bottom. Down at the bottom. No. Go up.
It's a guy who looks like. Character from.
Anyway, while he's standing in the doorway, a police officer sneaks up behind him and just tackles the bat out of him.
All right.
Yeah.
He's not wearing a mask or nothing.
You can have the Mr. Ramones. What can you do? look at that photo of them. Yeah. So here he is walking up to. So he just starts hitting the glass with a bat.
He kind of swings like a girl.
Oh, that's sexist. You shouldn't say that. Damn. Yeah. Well, so he's walking to the doorway. Look at all these ladies going.
Yeah, I'd be running right. I'd be pushing them like Costanza out of the way.
Fire! Fire! Yeah. So he's standing in the doorway, and then look at this officer. Bam! Oh. You know who I am? Dick Butkus, the greatest linebacker, the greatest linebacker in the NFL.
Oh, right. That's what Butkus is. I always thought Butkus was the, you know, the name of
you know, Al, we're supposed
dog from
to,
Rocky.
We're supposed to progress ourselves.
I thought it was just a funny name.
Yeah. Hey, can you? All right. Well, anyway, that was the Also look that up. It's on bluelivesmatter.blue. There's one article I want to deviate from the site. Can you pull up the dangers of, quote, de-escalation? I have it right here on my screen if you
want. Is it also on the Blue Lives?
No, it's not. I don't believe in this. Yeah, if you could Google it, though. If you could Google it, that would be great.
While I'm Googling it, you know, Joey Ramone was 6'6".
He was a tall guy. And speaking of Howard, he did look like Howard also.
Yeah.
Robin.
Anybody tell you I look like the Joey Ramone?
Oh, Howard. Ha, 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 ha. You do look like Joey Ramone.
Howard. Robin.
Climb on that speaker,
here, there,
honey.
It's a dangers of de-escalation, law enforcement. The reason I bring this video up, go down and find the video and hit video, hit play on that thing. Because this is from Fairbanks Police Department said that, where... Here, pause it for a second. Let me set it up for a second. Basically, there's a guy walking around with a gun. And he already committed committed crime already, walking around with a gun. I think he assaulted a few people. He assaulted two residents by pistol whipping them, firing a bullet into the wall, and demanding money and drugs.
Wow. From the wall?
Yeah, he yeah.
Stupid door.
Yeah, fine ver. And then he started walking around with the gun. So then police officers submerge on him and try to surround him. So he hit play. He just keeps walking. He's walking away. Officers are.
It's a very sunny day.
It's a very nice looking day.
Doesn't have to be like this. Doesn't have to be. Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves from Point Break.
I can dodge bullets, you know.
But listen, look at this. He's still walking around with a gun, walking down the street. What's your name, man? Oh, yeah, let me tell you my name. Yeah.
What's your size?
We're just two cool dudes. I'm not a cop right now.
But look how far he's walking.
And the guy has a gun right now?
He has a gun in his left hand. Meanwhile, our cameraman has a taser in one hand and then a rifle in the other. I don't know how he's handling the rifle.
Yeah, I know. He's like Arnold in Terminator 2.
Pretty talented guy. He walked he practically walked two blocks already with his gun. They have their guns on him, and they're just calling commands on him. He's clearly not replying. How much further do you let him go before he shoots somebody? Take somebody hostage, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, officer now is thinking, what if I shoot him? What kind of trouble I'm
going
to
be in? Correct.
Officers, that's probably what's going through
officers their mind. Are hesitating as well because he's walking away. He's not walking towards them.
Then,
he's not really engaging them.
If he kills somebody, they yell at the cops for not doing enough.
They should show that video to that person from the newspaper, how trigger-happy cops are.
Yeah, look how trigger-happy cops are here. Oh, they deploy a taser? Taser didn't work.
Nothing.
Second taser deployed. Tasers didn't work. This is also to those people out there. So why didn't they taser him?
Well, why didn't he shoot him in that hand?
Yeah, why didn't he shoot him?
Or better yet,
in the leg?
Why didn't he shoot him shoot the gun out? Look, he can't even see the guy. Guy is going into a store.
Look at this.
He looks like he's trying
to hide. He's walking
cars,
to the bus stop.
He can just carjack him into GTA 5.
No, he now has a hostage. Drop it. I'm sorry, not this part. He literally walks up to somebody and
he's
takes
jaywalking
somebody hostage. Yeah, he's crossing the street. Well, why'd you shoot him? He was jaywalking. Oh, so that's when he's walking across. He now picks up a hostage. He walked far.
They should have shot him before this.
Well, now they finally decided maybe we should do something about it. But listen, I'm not. It's difficult to criticize these officers, especially after the last 2 years of what we witnessed.
That's true.
Because everybody's it's now in the back of everybody's head, completely in the back of everybody's head. And it goes on here. This is the better shot right here. This is a dash camera of an officer pulling up right as he gets a hostage. And you can see he just walks right over across the
street. Quietly, too. Like strolling in the park.
He's literally strolling in the park.
You were asking
over.
Who is walking through the city, like strolling casually. That person with a gun in his left hand.
Yeah, he was just casually strolling, you know. And they frisked him for
gun,
no reason.
Right there. Right there.
Yeah. So how did this end?
He got lit up right here. When he got the hostage.
With a hostage there?
Somebody decided we need to put this guy down. And the great video on lawofficer.com if you guys want to check it out. My point is essentially with everything that's been happening for the past year, it's like you want to de-escalate things. I understand that, but do you allow it? Do you try to de-escalate it to the point where the guy keeps walking and has an opportunity to get somebody and get a hostage and walk with that hostage? Can you imagine if they got lucky? As a matter of fact, they got lucky there. He's very lucky that he didn't put the gun to the guy's head and shot him, considering he already pistol whipped two people, completely
or he could hide
victimized the wall.
He could also hide and ambush them.
Yeah.
So
it's food for thought for all the skeptics out there, and food for thought for police officers too. At what point do you draw the line between de-escalation and I don't know what the point is. Termination, killing somebody. It's
neutralization.
Right,
that's
right.
Probably that's probably the best word.
Probably
neutralization
of the threat.
Anyway, we can go on this one.
I neutralized the threat.
Yeah,
per my orders.
I wanted to talk in depth a little more about this story, but it's just
game over, man.
Game over. Yeah, man. So lawofficer.com, and the article's titled "The Dangers of Quote De-escalation," and it was written on February 26th of 2017. So very, very interesting video to watch, and I implore you to do so. Even if you're a police officer,
implore you.
Just interesting to see, and I guess we could wrap it up.
You
thank
said
you.
Implore.
Oh, John Marston.
Yeah.
You always were a fella for big words. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to us, Criminal Masterminds. I am your humble host, Richard Tracy, if you want to call me Dick Tracy. Al, as always, thank you for co-piloting this airplane with me.
Driving it right into the ground.
Yeah, and Mike, sir. Again, we are humbled by your presence
and
tremendously grateful.
Honor to be here.
Today, it flowed like butter. like butter. Who do I sound like? Regis. First one that came to my head. And to all our men and women out there, if you work in today and tonight, be safe, be careful, and get home safely. Thank you for listening. Take care.